Good morning, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the Troy Farkas Show, the final episode of the Troy Farkas Show. But that doesn't mean that the podcast game is stopping for me. Actually, in the next week or two, I am starting a brand new podcast. The name of it is to be disclosed soon. I am dropping the trailer episode very soon. The feed's not going to change. Basically, what's going to happen is I'm going to just change the name of this feed, the Troy Farkas Show, to this new podcast. And so if you're already following the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever, you'll be subscribed to the new show automatically. And I would encourage you to tell all your friends and family and anyone else who you think would get value from this new podcast, tell them to go give a follow as well. Where have I been the last couple of weeks since my last episode that I put out with Liana? I've slowed down the cadence of the podcast, obviously, because I'm really just retooling up for this next phase of the show. I'm not going anywhere. I've been focusing on my writing, troyfarkas.substack.com. It would mean the world to me if you went and subscribed over there. It's totally free. The link is in my Instagram bio. There is a paid option, but you don't have to pay. I'm not asking you to pay whatsoever. If you could just sign up for free, it would mean the world to me. And you'll get, you know, 2 to 3 pieces a week, blog posts, advice, or something happening in my life. Sometimes I'm asking you for advice or help. You'll get it straight to your mail. I'm not going to spam you. It's just going to be stuff that will add value to your life. And that's why I'm doing it. And that's what the next iteration of the podcast is going to be as well. It's not going to be, honestly, it's not going to be that much different from this one. It's just going to aim bigger in terms of guests, going to try to get out of my comfort zone and speak to people that I don't know, that I have no relationship with, that requires me to do a lot of research and deep thinking about how to do it. I'm also going to up the production value of the podcast, going to add more bells and whistles, maybe some more music and stuff. So all of that is to come. I'm very excited for you all to join me on that journey. And before we get into the meat of today's episode, I just want to send a sincere thank you to everyone who has been on this journey with me since I started the Troy Farkas Show back in September 2020. Like I've said before on the show, when I launched this, I had zero plans. I just wanted to do a podcast. It was something that I've been thinking about for a while. I was working on all these podcasts at ESPN, and I just wanted to start something. I wanted to put my name on something. You know, in the peak of COVID, I wanted to catch up with people, and I wanted to use the podcast as a way to kind of do that and learn about what's going on in other people's lives, maybe get some inspiration and share that with you guys. I've had a blast having the conversations, booking the conversations, and then like what I honestly looked forward to most was the conversation that we had once the recording was off. I wish you guys could have heard some of those. I mean, that ended up being the best parts of it when I was feeling alone, when, you know, during the pandemic, or when I was kind of sad and depressed out in Denver for a couple months there. This podcast really helped ground me. And it's also been an amazing experimental ground for me in my actual job, because I take risks, you know, kind of behind the scenes risks, whether it's with on YouTube or social media, on TikTok, Photoshop. When you have your name attached to something, you are much more likely to put more of yourself into it. I'm not sure if for my own job, I would have been so willing to try out TikTok or YouTube, video editing, graphic making, had I not been able to do it for my own show, right? Like this gave me the kick in the butt to try to learn a bunch of things in my industry that I needed to learn in order to take myself up another notch and to make myself more valuable and useful to whoever I'm making podcasts for. So this has been an incredible experience for me. It's had its ups and downs in terms of listenership and viewership, but I've enjoyed this so much. It's been a labor of love. And the reason why it's no longer being the Troy Farkas Show anymore is because that name really doesn't encapsulate anything what the show is about. I mean, the show isn't really about me. It's about you guys and adding value to your lives and sharing advice, wisdom, and stories and all that good stuff. And so that's why the new name, I'm hoping, kind of tells the random person who's scrolling through Apple Podcasts and Spotify what this show is actually about. And let's be honest here, like, I'm not a big name. I'm not a celebrity. No one's going to see the Troy Farkas Show and be like, oh, the Troy Farkas, I need to listen to what he has to say. But hopefully on this next iteration of the show, that will change. So before I sign off for the Troy Farkas Show one final time, I kind of wanted to go down memory lane and choose 9 of my favorite snippets from the podcast since September 2020. There's been so many amazing conversations, and I'm so, so thankful to everyone who gave me their time. They didn't have to. The majority of people that I asked to come on to the show said yes. A couple people said no, and I fully respect that. I respect their right to remain private and not want to open up about the inner workings of their lives. That's totally cool. And I, you know, am so grateful, forever thankful to the people who agreed to come on, who did all the tech things that I asked them to do, who opened up, who answered tough questions. I so appreciate that. Everyone's support, everyone who has DM'd me, who has sent along words of wisdom, who has shared something to another person in their DMs that's something that they like from the podcast, someone who has told a friend to follow the show or subscribe to the show, anyone who's subscribed to the YouTube channel, to my Substack. You guys mean the world to me. I am forever indebted to you. And if there's anything I can ever do for any of you who have followed this show, let me know. I'm here for you like you have been here for me. So please, anyone, if I have not chosen you, you know, if you've been a guest on the show and I've not chosen you for one of these favorite moments, please don't take offense to it. I'm forever grateful. What I'm kind of doing with these nine snippets here, these are pieces of wisdom, of advice that I think will really translate kind of into the next show. So these are the types of conversations that I want to be having on the next show. So this is kind of like, it's a review of the Troy Farkas show, but also a preview of what's to come. So I'm going to play nine snippets for you about different topics. We're kind of, you know, gonna dive into first career, then some social media and online 2022 stuff, and then kind of some personal relationship stuff. And this is with conversations that I've had since September 2020. So gonna start on the career portion. The first person we're gonna hear from is Christina Buswell, who I worked with at ESPN. She's a podcast producer as well. She's incredible. She's gonna talk about loving what you do at work and how important that is. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Christina Buswell.
Above anything else, happiness is the most important thing. If you're not loving what you're doing and if you're not happy, what's it worth? So I think that if you want to move somewhere, do it. If you want to quit your job and find a new one, do it. I'm such a supporter of, if that's what's going to make you happy, be happy. You know, what's anybody to tell you have to stick in that job or you have to stay in that city, you have to stick out that lease. If you're not happy, screw it. Leave it. Life's short.
Everything that you just said right there is, you know, you could put on a billboard for this this movement that we're calling the Great Resignation, is what all the newspapers and such are calling it, that has kind of happened during COVID as a result of COVID, as people have realized, oh shit, like I can lose anything at any time. I can lose any person and at any time. Life is fragile. We were all so go, 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 taking everything for granted. And then we lost some things. And then we slowed down and actually spent some time with ourselves and loved ones and worked from home. And we're like, this is kind of nice. There's a different way to live.
Oh,
and to bring it back to podcasting, I'm like, I remember doing things a year and a half ago, 2 years ago for the ESPN Daily Show, going in on a Sunday night, after already being there Sunday morning, going there at midnight, staying until 2 a.m. and like grinding away, then waking up again at 5 to work on my baseball show the next day. I can do all that from home now. Like, why am I doing that? I don't need to do that anymore. And everything that you just said is, you know, outside of media, just a reason why young people are leading this charge of, if you're not happy in your job, leave it. Go find something else that'll be more fulfilling. And there's also so many more ways to make money now. I mean, say what you want about TikTok. I had a great conversation on last week's podcast with Eric Jackman about the beauty of TikTok. There's so many ways, and I know this from starting my own business this year, to just bet on yourself and to make your own money and to not have to go through a third party, a company, a big corporate structure to make it work for you. You can make your own thing happen. It takes a lot of work, dedication, research, of course, but it's so much more possible than it used to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially now with younger people realizing the old way of doing things, where you go to college to study one thing, you graduate, you work with the same company for 30, 40, 50 years, and you retire and you're done. That's just not the thing anymore. I mean,
but what about the 401k, Christina?
Yeah, it's just, it's so crazy to think about. Like I joked with my parents that when I took this ESPN job that I currently have, it's the first time I've ever had benefits. It's the first time that anybody's ever offered me a plan for retirement, because I was never thinking that far in advance. I was literally just saying to my mom yesterday that the weirdest thing about getting a house is thinking past 1 year, because I've always been in the mindset of, well, this is just my lease. I'm in a lease for a year or 6 months or however long it is. And that's all I'm thinking up till. I'm thinking up until the end of the year. And then where am I going next? Am I staying in this one spot? Am I finding someplace new? And so I think that it's just a different mindset. And, you know, everything that you just said, I think so many people over the last 2 years spent more time not only by themselves in a place where they can reflect on life, their job, you know, their state of happiness, really, to say like, am I happy with everything I'm doing? You know, you see so many people entering new relationships or moving across the country or changing jobs because that's what's making them happy. And I think to bring everything back full circle, I think that job wise, you have to find what makes you happy. And I think that podcasting is so open and unique, and it's got a space for literally everybody, that I think that I'm finally in a position where I'm touching podcasts that touch people. And there's something for everybody. You might not be a fan of a totally football-centric podcast like Adam Schefter's, but hey, maybe First Take Her Take is for you because they talk about everything. Or you don't like any of that, you want to listen to just MMA or just hockey, we've got that too. You know, if you don't want to listen to any of those types of things, there are comedy podcasts, there are educational podcasts. There's something for everybody to make you escape the current situation you're in, to make you feel good and happy for the hour, 2-3 hours the podcast is. And, you know, that's the beauty of it.
Christine is amazing. I love her so much, and I'm so proud to know her and call her a friend. And I mean, she's killing it. She's still at ESPN. She actually just went back to the office for the first time since March 2020, which is incredible. I'm so happy for her, and she had such great things to share right there. Moving on now to another person I worked with at ESPN who's actually not behind the scenes, but on camera. This is Alyssa Lang. She works for SEC Network. If you watch college football in the fall at all, you'll see Alyssa everywhere. She also does college basketball sideline. She's a studio host. She's a radio host. She is amazing, a rock star, a real Southern Belle. I so loved producing a radio show for her in the brief time that I worked with her. And so she talked about, I mean, she's in her 20s. She's, you know, just like maybe 2 years older than me. She's an absolute stud. She got to ESPN at a really young age and found herself in a room with industry-leading people who had been around forever with these larger-than-life names. And so that can lead you to feel like an imposter, like you don't belong there. And I feel like that is something that a lot of us deal with as we are entering the boardroom or in places that we've never been before. We feel out of place, like we don't belong. But Alyssa Lang is here to tell you that you do belong. Here's what she said. We wonder if we belong, right? You know, we've gone through all the training, but we don't have that many years of experience. We're likely in a room with people who have been at it for decades, who are older than us, who are wiser than us, who make more money than us, all of these things. So you then immediately go onto a national network at a very young age. What was going through your mind at that particular time?
Man, I mean, it was overwhelming. And now that I think about it, I think you're right. I was 25 at the time. My math is wrong. Bad at math. That's why I'm in journalism.
But you can rap.
It was wildly overwhelming. I still to this day struggle with imposter syndrome, right. I believe the phrase is. It's really easy to do that. I think in any industry that you're in, everyone has those moments of self-doubt. I was really lucky to have experienced a lot in my time in local TV that at the time felt like the end of the world and the worst thing ever. And I actually, a month before Barron called me about the ESPN opportunity, I was on like the second or third interview trying to get a job out of TV, like a marketing job. And I mean, I was this close. And I'm so thankful I didn't get that job because I think I might have taken it. And I can't imagine what my life would look like now. I mean, I'm sure it would have been fine and I would hope everything would have worked out. But I'm just so happy with where I'm at now. I'm like, oh my gosh, could you imagine if I had actually taken that gig? But when I got to ESPN, it was all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, like, are y'all sure? Like, are you
right? Me? Little me?
Yeah. I mean, and that's how it felt. You know, I knew that I had worked really hard to get to where I was, and I knew I had put the time in, and I knew that I was going to have to do the same thing at ESPN and earn the respect of my colleagues and the producers and anybody who I came in contact with, especially because I was young. I had experienced at times in my career walking into a locker room or a press room and getting eyes from people who were three times my age, like, what are you doing here?
Right.
Get out of here. Right. You know, high schooler. I mean, called intern to my face, which, like, that's fine, whatever, I don't care. But at the end of the day, it's a constant, I think, battle and reminding yourself that you are there for a reason. And the only person who can really prove otherwise is you. So when I'm getting ready for shows and things like that, that's what really motivates me when I'm preparing for a new softball season or next season's, you know, football matchups and the questions that we've got to address across the SEC is I want to make sure that I can put my best foot forward always. And that to me starts with preparation. So that's always what I go back to, is not to necessarily prove anybody else wrong, but to make sure that I go to work every day knowing that I know what I'm talking about and I'm supposed to be here.
Major shout out to Alyssa Lang, one of the kindest, funniest people that I have ever met, that I've ever worked with, and I wish her all the best. I really hope to meet her in real life someday. We are hopefully friends to this day, so shout out to you, Alyssa, for everything that you do. Moving on, kind of staying in the sports world, this one I just had to throw in because this was, you know, one of my favorite conversations, one of the most popular ones that appeared on the Troy Farkas Show. This is with Kevin Herter of the Atlanta Hawks, who I'm taping this on Friday. This episode is coming out on Monday. Kevin, I don't know what the status of the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA playoffs is by the time this episode drops, but a lot of you guys that are my listeners, you know about him, you've spoken to him, you've watched him grow up through these years as he went from Shenandoah High School in Clifton Park, New York to the to Maryland, to the Atlanta Hawks, where he is now. Now he's getting $15 million a year or something. And so we talked about the grind of the NBA season, his rookie year, especially his rookie year, because, and I can empathize with this because I graduated early from college. Kevin left college early. And so there were times in his rookie year in the NBA, my first year at ESPN in the corporate world, where I could see all my friends out back in college, having a good time, not having real responsibilities. And so that was hard. So Kevin kind of talked about the grind of the NBA season and what that first year especially was like. Take a listen. I want to ask you about something that I feel like not enough people talk about. People think that the life of a professional athlete is super glamorous. People know you, you've got money, you're going out on the town and people want to be around you, et cetera, et cetera. But like, you're playing an 82 game season. You are on the road all the time. You're playing on Friday and Saturday nights. Like, say what you want about what you do for a living, but you know, that's valuable real estate as a young person. Like, I think the life of an NBA player is quite hard. So the 82 game season, however many months long that is, what is the grind physically and mentally of the season like?
Yeah. Grind is the only word to describe it. It's a marathon. And the tough part about being an NBA player is that there's very little balance in your life. You know, you go to where for 8 months out of the year, you're super serious. You're playing almost every other day. Your diet's super strict. You know, your social life is limited to usually one or two drinks and then you're going to bed if you're smart about it. And it's a long year. You look forward to the mini breaks. You look forward to the all-star breaks. You look forward, in some ways, when you're losing, you look forward to the off season, that there's just very little balance. And then all of a sudden you get to the off season and you have 5 months of summer. You don't have to work and you can pick your schedule and you can pick and choose when you want to be social. And for the most part, you can be social as much as you want to. And so it's a big balancing act of how you got to look at it. But I mean, during the course of the year, it was tough. My first year in the NBA was, for my own age group, all my friends were juniors and seniors in college. And so, like you said, it's a Saturday night, I'm in Oklahoma City or I'm in Boston or whatever. And my Snap stories are everyone out, everyone posting everything. Yeah. And it's all my buddies. And so, of course, I'm sitting like, damn, in my hotel room, we got a game the next night. I'm watching Netflix. And I was like, damn, like, I really want to be out right now. And then the same thing happened the next year. And then all of a sudden you get to the summer. And again, it's just a huge balancing act of to the total extreme. So being an NBA player, that you talk about the attention and everyone trying to look at you, that I wish at some point there was an off switch where at some point you can get away from it all. And that's where it's great to be in your own house, but it's never something I want to give up. Again, this is something you kind of dream for. You get to this level and you take everything that comes with it. Obviously, yeah. Sometimes you wish it turned off, but at the end of the day, it is a glamorous life. It's you love to do it. You know, you travel around the world, getting paid to play a game. And so you got to keep that mindset, even though it gets to be a grind, just like anything else, it is a job. And when you get to game 60 and you're on the road for your seventh day in a row, you're reminded that it is still a job. It's not always just a game. So there's a good and bad, just like everything.
So now I want to transition over and thank you to Kevin. You're the man, Kevin. So much love for you, rooting for you. And he was so generous with his time when he came on as well. And it's been great interacting with him since that. The people, you know, a couple 300 something views on the YouTube video of that. It's on my YouTube channel, Troy Farkas YouTube channel, if you want to go check it out. Now, moving over to social media, which is something that all of us regrettably spend too much time on, but it is an integral part of all of our lives, honestly, in terms of connecting with people. The pandemic only accelerated the importance of social media in terms of connecting with people and forging bonds. I personally like social media. I know it can be a really bad place, a dangerous place. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of bad people out there who are using it for no good. But I personally just love DMing people, sending positive vibes. I love sharing the stuff that I'm doing on podcasts, Substack for work. I love sharing it on social media. I do spend too much time there. It's too distracting. Like, I go on it all the time for maybe just 15 seconds by default. And then I catch myself and I'd say, Troy, like, get back to work or get back to your workout or do whatever. But anyway, it's important. And if you are a brand, a business, a person, social media can be very important to you and your future and your pocketbooks and all that stuff. So that's why I had Eric Jackman, AKA New York Rick, on the podcast a couple months ago. And he gave out some really good advice for building a social media strategy and what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. Where to be, all that stuff. He gave some really good advice. So take a listen to what New York Rick had to say. If someone comes to you and they run a business, you know, they sell flowers, they're a yoga studio, they have a podcast, whatever it is, and they come to you and say, I recognize that I need social media in 2021 to get my message out there about my product, about my service. They ask you, where should I be and what should I do? What do you tell them?
Before I tell them where they should be and what they should do, I'd ask, why do they need social media? Because I think everybody thinks they need to be on social media. The reality is not everybody needs to be on social media. If you are not primed for producing content for social media that can be distributed, it's better to not play the game than to play it poorly. So
all in or all out.
Be all in or all out, but also like recognize what your strengths are, right? You don't need to be on every platform, right? If you're somebody who's in a business of producing long form video content, or you think that long form video content would be the best thing that represents your brand or whatever that thing is you're doing, then maybe you only need a YouTube. If you have a Twitter that has no following and can't show people on that platform with things that are fit for that platform, why they should be following your long form content elsewhere or not providing value on Twitter, I'm just using them as an example, then maybe don't have one. So I would start with what is the venue, what is the forum to best represent what you need and what you want to do? And let's pair that with what you're doing, as opposed to saying you need to be on Twitter, you need to be on TikTok, you need to be on this, that, or the other. I think it is much more important to be authentic on each of these platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think it's much more important to be fitting the content to the distribution method. Because like to simplify what we're talking about here, this is all distribution.
Yeah.
All we're doing is giving people something, right? In most people think of social media as like, I'm trying to get you to interact, or I'm trying to get you to engage, or I'm trying to even take you off platform. It's all distribution. So if you are a brand or you are a company and you have a message that needs to get out, social media may not be your best method. It could be a newspaper. It could be on YouTube, which is if you consider YouTube social media, I think YouTube and Twitch live outside of what we'd call like traditional social media platforms a little bit and more toward like video specific. But maybe those are the right platforms for you. So I don't think there's a catch-all. I think if you are a brand that exists on a lot of these platforms, especially if you're a higher profile brand, to me, TikTok is the place that you'd want to be most readily because the captive audience is there and it hasn't been kind of monetized as heavily yet. But I don't think there is a one size fits all. You need to be on this platform or all platforms. I think you really need to understand what it is you're offering and why the distribution makes sense for that.
New York Rick is truly one of my favorite people that I've met working in sports media over the past few years. He is an absolute mensch. He has been so good to me. He answers any question I have. I really look up to him, and he's someone I consider to be a friend, and I hope I can actually see him in real life soon. Now, speaking of social media, and I've had this conversation on the show before, we all portray ourselves to be a certain way on social media, right? It's a highlight reel. We show a side of ourselves that isn't real, that doesn't actually exist, or if it does exist, it's only a very quick snapshot of an entire day that might be a depressed one, but you take a really good photo that you look good in, or you're in a good destination, or you're doing something fun, or you're with friends or whatever, and it makes you look like you're living this dream life because that's all the people on social media see. And so Kelsey Davis, who I had back on in December of 2020, was telling me about how she's really conscious of the way she posts, and she urged us all to just be real, stop filtering, stop the lying, stop the BS, and I thought that was really valuable. So take a listen to what Kelsey had to say.
So you actually said to me someone recently, and you actually do say some things that stick with me and make me think. So
I'm so glad.
you said something to me where there was a photo that you wanted to post on social media because you liked the way you looked, but you were also conscious of, hey, you know, I look at people that I follow on Twitter and Instagram and compare myself to them, and it makes me feel bad about myself. Conversely, if you are posting a photo of yourself, you are realizing maybe that someone else looks at a photo of you and it's like, man, I want to look like that. And so you didn't post the photo because of that. So I'm just curious, what, when you are going, just take me into the mind of a woman, especially a crazy one like yourself, when you are going to post a photo, like what goes through your mind? What is the process before you officially say yes or no to it?
Yeah. So I think I've gotten a few messages, and I like to post things that make me feel good. I don't know. It's, I guess, a normal thing in our society. It's kind of weird, to be honest, but I've gotten a few messages that are like, what's your workout routine? Like, how did you get so skinny? Like, what do you eat? How many calories do you eat a day? And I'm like, shoot, like, I don't want anybody comparing themselves to me at all. Like, I truly honestly believe that everybody's beautiful. And like, what works for me doesn't work for everybody else. And so like, when I'm going to post, I'm trying to think about how it's going to make other people feel. And like, I scroll through Instagram all day and see all kinds of bikini photos and these girls that are so confident. And some of them aren't. That's the thing, is like, none of this is real. And like, I am so honest about like my Instagram. I have edited photos, and so many women do. And like, when I have acne, I'm like, all right, does that pimple really need to be there when I go and post this? No. And so I edit it out, and like, that's not real. So like, I'm a fake bitch like everybody else on that app, and like, it's not good. And so like, I've kind of just been trying to be more conscious of that and being real, and like, not editing, or I guess filtering is like a little bit different, but like, let's just be real on there and like, normalize that so that people can stop feeling bad about how they look or their bodies or anything like that, because it's so toxic. And like, I'm very conscious about what I eat and how much I exercise and things like that, to the point where it's just like not healthy. And I'm working on that as well. So like, I'm not a good representation of what anybody should be trying to do health-wise. I'm still working on that journey. So like, let's just be real.
Thank you to Kelsey for that. I think that's really important advice from her. Moving on to maybe the most popular episode of the Troy Farkas Show ever in terms of the total impressions that it had on audio, on YouTube, on social media. And it's funny, Jasmine Noonan, who you're about to hear from, every month I would get a report from Google and they would tell me what the hits were and what was being searched for and clicked on with regard to the DetroitFarkashow.com. And Jasmine Noonan, even months after speaking to her in April 2021, was always showing up in the top five. And I assume that has to do something with she has a massive following on Instagram and TikTok. And so she was always being searched for. So I loved having Jasmine on. You guys loved having Jasmine on. I'm going to have her on again in the near future. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And she talked about gratitude and how important it is. And I'm telling you, guys and girls, if you're listening, gratitude is so, so important to living a happy, fulfilling life. If you don't have a gratitude practice, I suggest you do it right now and take a listen to what Jasmine has to say about gratitude. It's very important. On your IG page, you shared a lot of stories that are really positive in nature, just encouraging people to be grateful and to live their best lives and to be themselves. And I love all of that. And so I've been a big fan of that for years. Why do you feel the need to do that? Because I feel like, you know, some people in this world that we live in may view that as corny or lame or like might not get, you know, a lot of likes or whatever. I don't feel that way, but that's just how a lot of people do. So why do you feel the need to be the positive girl on IG, which I love?
I just, okay. Well, I'm literally wearing a sweatshirt that says grateful right now.
Let's go.
And this tapestry behind me also says grateful. And you know what? I am so corny and I don't care. The thing is, the whole gratitude thing. So just to give a backstory, actually, John, do you know John Lith? John LaFerry, he went to UAlbany as well.
Okay.
He's actually the one who inspired me to start doing the three things you're grateful for each day. He started doing it and I was like, oh, I like this. I want to do it. And the reason why is because it's really hard to be in a bad mood after you just said three things that you're grateful for. It's really hard to like be down in the dumps after you acknowledge all the good that you have in your life. And once I started doing those kinds of things a few years ago, my life has completely changed. Like completely changed. So the reason why I feel the need to post it is because I want everyone else to see the light. Like I want them to see what I saw, like find what I found. And that's why I share. I don't do it every single day. I kind of slowed down with it, but that's why I like to do that. And sometimes I'll write like, I'll do like one of those question box things and I'll be like, what are you grateful for? And people will write it in there or I'll just say, what are you grateful for? And sometimes people will respond to my story and just say something they're grateful for. So it's really nice. And it's really awesome to see like some of my friends doing it too. Cause it's like, yeah, like be grateful. Like life is so good. And it's just really tough to be in a bad mood in like right in the moment. Like your life could be, you know, you could be going through things in life, but in the present moment, if you sit there and say like, wow, I'm so grateful for my family. I'm so grateful for my friends. I'm so grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my hot shower. I'm grateful for like a bed to sleep in, you know, in a safe place. Like once you say all those things out loud, it's really hard in that moment to be in a bad mood.
I totally agree with Jasmine there. I love life. I love life. I love waking up every day and just attacking the day and just go, go, go and seeing what is going to happen. Life is so good. Like Jasmine said, she has seen the light. I have seen the light. And I just try to share that light, whether it's on the podcast or whether it's these internet chat rooms I'm on, whether it's on social media, when it's at the grocery store in real life. I just try to spread love and good vibes as much as I can, because I want everyone to be as happy as I am on a near daily basis. Yeah, of course I have my bad days, but I want everyone to have that gratitude, to have that happiness, to have that just thankfulness to be alive and that perspective of realizing how good we have it, because so many more people have it worse. So thank you to Jasmine for that. Now I want to transition over to Ashley Acker, who is a friend from my hometown, and she was telling me about how when she first moved to Denver right out of college, she just kind of got up and went, how hard it was to make friends as an adult. And this is something that I care deeply about is trying to make friends or trying to date as an adult. It is hard. It is so much different than high school, college, than before high school growing up, because all of your friends are kind of chosen for you based on, you know, your sports teams or your choirs or whatever club you're in, fraternity, sorority, your friends are kind of there. But when you're an adult, you have to be really proactive and go make them yourself to actually build meaningful relationships. So that's what Ashley kind of talked about right here. Take a listen.
So I got there and I feel like it took me a few months to really realize how scary it was to be there without like your best friends or like any family really, and being a plane ride away, all the things I didn't really think of before I moved.
So how did you ultimately remedy the situation?
So when I got there, the good thing about Denver is a lot of people move out there alone, and they're looking for friends, and it's a lot of people out of college, mid-20s. And another plus side about Denver is there's a lot of work, and there's a lot of like contractor positions, things like that. So I worked about like 3 contractor positions where there was a lot of people my age, like right out of college. So I met a lot of people through those positions and just kind of pushing myself, like after a long day of work, to go out and hang out with the friends that I made at work or some of their friends, even though I was tired and didn't want to. And it was just a consistent like go, go, go until you had those friends, because pushing yourself out of your comfort zone was better than like sitting inside and like being sad about it. So that was my way of finding some friends. But let me tell you, it took a really long time. So you do get in your head and upset about things for sure, especially like living alone. But it's definitely worth it once you give it your all and find a new place that you like to live.
Now, one of my favorite conversations is one I had with Josh Rotenberg, who I interned for at News 10 ABC in Albany in the summer of 2014. He was a great mentor to me. He's a great friend to me. And I had him on the show last summer, another really popular episode, just a wide-ranging episode. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It's really good. And I was in a pickle. I'm in Portsmouth, New Hampshire now. I ultimately decided to come here. But at this time when I spoke to Josh, I was really unclear with where to move. Should I move to Portsmouth? Should I go back to Colorado? Or should I just stay home? Should I go to Saratoga? Because it's a really cool place and I love it. And so he kind of faced a similar scenario where, you know, he's from Philadelphia. He loves Philadelphia. After Philadelphia, you know, he works in the news TV business, which is, you know, you're constantly moving. So he started out in Alabama. Then he went to Albany, and then he went to Ohio, and then he went to Pennsylvania or just something. Like, he went to Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is not far from Philly at all. So he essentially went home. And so just know that as you listen to what he's saying. He went home after being away from home for so many years, and he kind of gave me some advice on what I should do. You know, I ultimately didn't go home, but I still think it's very valuable for you guys. Now, in my decision to, I'm moving to Portsmouth, New Hampshire next month. I can, you know, I work remotely. I can live anywhere I want. So it's kind of a blessing and a curse. Blessing, you can work anywhere you want. That's sweet. Curse, it's like, how do you figure out where to live? There's so many factors and you can live in so many different places when every option is available to you. So it's been a tough decision. And part of me was just weighing, you know, what if I just moved to Saratoga? Saratoga is an awesome place. It's 25 minutes from where I grew up. I know it. I feel comfortable there. I feel safe there. And it's just like a sick place. You know it. You've been there. It's a great town. The track is great. It's all great. But a part of me feels like that would just be a step back in my development, that I wouldn't be using this important part of my life where I'm supposed to be getting out of my comfort zone and taking chances, especially when I'm unattached to any big responsibilities of a wife or children. I would feel like that would be taking a step back, would be doing the easy thing. So I'm wondering, was being in Allentown for a year, being close to home, not, you know, kind of banking on your childhood and not
going out and meeting new people, did that weigh in your decision at all, where you were just like, you know what, I need to get out of here, not because I don't love the people, but because I need to branch out?
So here's what I'll say. First, before I answer that question, there's something you said that resonated with me, and it's something that we took from our Israel trip. You never really know who you are until you get outside your comfort zone. You can't grow unless you get outside your comfort zone. And that's something I'm definitely taking with me right now. And I offer that to you or anybody else listening in the podcast. Get outside your comfort zone as much as you can, because eventually that comfort zone is going to grow. And you'd be surprised by just what exactly ultimately ends up in there. When I was in Allentown, it was amazing. It felt like almost part of my dream coming true. The dream was always to come back home. Originally, it was for sports. I've gone a different way. But it was always to come back home and to report in front of the people that I grew up with and to have them see me. And for me to also report on the things that matter to me, because in all these other different places, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but it just resonates a little bit more when it's home. I signed a 2-year contract there. Part of the deal that I signed a 1-year non-compete agreement. So once I left, whether it was after 2 years or 20 years, there was going to have to be 1 year where I basically was not allowed to work in the Philadelphia metropolitan area, which Allentown is considered to be a part of. And so when it got to be the end of my contract, I was looking at a couple of different things. I knew I always wanted to be in Philadelphia. And so I kind of knew that if I did ultimately want to do that, I was going to have to leave. Didn't realize again that it was going to be at the start of a pandemic, but I knew that was the case. Being home was great. After 6 years or 7 years on the road, being 45 minutes to an hour away from home was a blessing. I didn't have to take vacation time anymore to go home. I could just go home. Didn't matter what day of the week it was, I could just do it. You know, whether it's hang out with your immediate family or friends or whatever. I didn't take it for granted. And then after getting that for 2 years, it was that much harder to leave. Just because I felt like I worked so hard to get there. But I also knew that if I wanted to ultimately achieve the dreams that I wanted to, that I had to leave again. And that's why it was really hard. Because I got that taste. And so I made this decision. I've stuck with it. I've learned a lot. But it's given me a greater appreciation for home. So look, I think you're doing great that you're outside your comfort zone. Nobody in the world would blame you if you wanted to go back to Saratoga. Not at all. You've proven that what you went to college for worked out. You clearly are doing the right thing. But if you want to go home and do the same thing or do something different, who is anybody else to judge you? So I'd say that the ball's in your court. Do what you want to do. If you want to go home, go home. If not, continue to travel. Just know that home will always be there. So that's what I would say to you.
Shout out to JR, a great friend, a great mentor, someone who has been instrumental in getting me to where I am today. I'm not sure if I am where I am today in my career without Josh Rollenberg. So shout out to him and best of luck. Now moving on to the final two snippets here. Kind of talking more about personal relationships and dating, two very powerful conversations, two very popular conversations that I had. The first one is with Anna Botino, which was one of the most listened to episodes in the Troy Farkas Show history. This was an amazing conversation. I love Anna Bo. Grew up with Anna Bo. She went to college with her as well. She's a stud. She's so well-spoken. She's so smart. And she's just a badass. And she's so fun to be around. She is this perfect mixture of being really serious and hardworking and dedicated, but also just so goofy. She can laugh at herself. She's really self-aware. And so we had a really good conversation about her sexuality. I kind of suspected, if you knew her growing up, you suspected that she might be gay, but you just didn't know. And then she finally came out in college. And so we had a really good conversation toward the end of our podcast about that decision and how hard it was and actually how much regret she has about not doing it sooner. So I think this was really important, and I really want you guys to hear this again or hear it for the first time. So here's Anna Bo.
So I know you said that you didn't have any crushes on other women growing up, but
were there ever times where you were kind of thinking about your sexuality in your mind where like you maybe thought that you might be into women, but you're like, no, I can't be into women. That's not acceptable or that's not normal. And I want to be normal. Like, did you ever have to kind of fight that battle in your head?
Yeah. So do you know the movie Practical Magic?
No.
Okay. So Sandra Bullock is in it and Nicole Kidman, and like Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman are descendants of witches. I think they're witches. I think I had a huge crush on Sandra Bullock, and I saw this in middle school. Yeah, she's super hot. So I had a, I think I had a crush on her. Like I had also Kristen Stewart from Twilight. I had her like all over my room, and I thought it was just like, I love Twilight, but I didn't really love Edward. I loved Bella. So I feel like Sandra Bullock and Bella Swan from Twilight were like my A1 day one lady crushes. And
good choices.
Yeah. But yeah, I think all of my role models in life, except for my college coach, actually have been women. Like all of them, all of my best, like I have so many best friends that are women. I think, and that's not to say that dudes aren't great. I think I have guy friends and I love them. I love the men in my life and I think they're really special. I just identified more with and connected more with women. And you can be that way and not identify as queer. You can totally live your life that way. I just think for me, like it is an indicator for me of what I might've been thinking and feeling. It's a weird space when you're not out, and when you do come out and think back, I think that there's a lot of trauma in that, like that we don't really acknowledge, not necessarily like trauma in the sense of like abuse. I think that when you suppress a part of yourself subconsciously for so long and then you realize it, it's really hard to think about like what you might've been thinking or feeling in that space. Because when you come out, it's this incredible affirming experience. And it's also a really sad experience because you're like, okay, how is my life different now? And how would it have been different if I'd come out sooner?
So much love and respect for Anna Botina, one of the most kind, caring, loving, smart people I have ever met. I wish Anna Bo all the best with everything that she is going on. She's getting married soon to the love of her life, which is absolutely incredible. Now, speaking of love, the final snippet I want to play for you is a conversation that I have probably re-listened to more than any other podcast I have. It's actually a fairly recent one. This is with Jessica Lescrinier. She is my yoga instructor here in Portsmouth. And talk about a woman who just blows me away. She is incredibly well-spoken, so smart, so experienced, and is just sharing her wisdom left and right. I've never heard a person speak better on the podcast than Jessica did. She didn't stutter. She was so certain with everything she was saying. She was so wise. If you missed this conversation, you have to go listen to it, watch it. It was fantastic. And at the end of the conversation, I asked her about a breakup. She's 28. She decided to walk away from a relationship after 5 years. Now think about that. She walked away from a relationship at a time in her life when she is expected to be marrying that person, to marry that person, buy a house, have kids, set your lives together. And she decided to hit the reset button on her life. And she said some really good things in this snippet you're going to hear. And so I would urge you, if any of you, if you are in a relationship you're unsure of, if you have a gut feeling about it, if there's something that doesn't sit right with you about it, if you think there's maybe something better for you, something more true, more beautiful, more pure, really look inward like Jessica did and ask yourself some tough questions. So to close out, you know, the ninth and final snippet here, take a listen to Jessica Lescrinier, my yoga teacher.
I think the best place to start this was it was before the breakup happened. And I think we really need to trust. It's so hard. We need to trust our guts. I think that I had known for quite a while that the life, or rather the trajectory of my life from where I was standing, wasn't right. But everything about it was perfect. So why would I mess that up? And I kept convincing myself, it's me. Like, you're out of your mind to give up your life that has nothing but perfect promise. You are loved. You have a boat together. You have this beautiful home together. You've been together for so long. You've been on so many adventures. There's so much history. You have your life planned out. And there was this voice in me that I kept shutting down that was saying, it's not right. And I had so many arguments with this voice, like, are you out of your mind? Look at my life. In the next year, I'll be engaged. And in the next year after that, I'll be married. And then we'll get a house and I'll have this beautiful, perfect life. But there's no such thing as perfect. And, you know, I think compatibility has a lot to do with things. And just because on paper, everything looks perfect doesn't mean that it is. And one day it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I can't do this anymore. And I had all of these thoughts. I can't afford a place in Portsmouth on my own. I'm just a school teacher and a yoga teacher. This city is expensive. I can't be single at 28. I'm going to get married. I have a whole life. I can't be single at 28 in this city that I can't afford to live in, but I don't want to move. And I felt like I had pressed the self-destruct button on my life. But one thing we know to be true is that even when a forest burns to the ground, it fertilizes the earth for new life. And that's what it was. And I really believe in alignment. And somehow within a week of making the biggest, I think, most terrifying, most challenging decision of my life, I found an apartment that I could live in by myself and bring Ralph. I found that I could not only do this by myself, but do it very well. I found that I was going to be just fine. And more and more and more fell into place after that. I picked up some more yoga classes. My friends, man, you've never known the people that love you until you go through a crisis. They come through so hard. And I kept waiting. And I felt like everyone around me kept waiting. Like, all right, she's going to lose it. She's going to have like a mental breakdown. And then we'll all see. It never happened. I think that sometimes you have to really, really trust that scary gut feeling that says you have to take the leap. You have no idea what's on the other side. You have to take the leap. And even though it was hard and it was scary, I'll say I've never been more proud of myself. I look at my apartment. I look at everything that I've accomplished in the past few months, and it makes me love myself so much more than I did staying in a place where I just wasn't happy.
How can you not be blown away by Jessica? Think about how tough of a decision that is. She was on this trajectory that was scripted out for her, and everything was going to be perfect, and everyone was going to be jealous, and everyone was going to think that she had this perfect, beautiful life. And she decided to throw it away because it wasn't right for her. That's amazing. That takes guts. There's so many people out there who would have just stayed the course, who would have rejected that voice inside their head. And Jessica didn't. She listened to that. And that's important. And I urge any of you, if you have that voice, if you have that doubt, listen to it. Don't run away from it. there might be something better for you. Jessica is on her way to finding that. So those are 9 highlights from the show. Again, there's so many more, and I'm so grateful to everyone who has joined me on this show since September of 2020. This has been a labor of love. I have learned so much. I have grown so much. This has made me better personally and professionally, and I am so excited to parlay all of this into the next phase of this podcast. Again, if you're already subscribed to the Troy Farkas Show, great. You're going to be subscribed to the next show as well. I'm not changing the RSS feed. That's a techie term for a podcast. None of that's changing, so you're already going to be subscribed to it. Expect the first episode, the first conversation. It's going to be an interview-heavy podcast. Expect that in the next 1 or 2 weeks, just putting the final touches on logo and branding and all that stuff. But if you want to hear from me in the meantime, there's going to be a trailer here in the next couple of days for the new show. TroyFarkas.substack.com. That's where all my writing is. It's a really cool site. It's really easy to navigate. I love that site. I think it's better than the TroyFarkasShow.com that I was using for the past year. Go subscribe to me there. It's free. I appreciate all the love and support. I appreciate everyone who has come on the show, who has listened, who has watched, who has subscribed, who has followed, who has given me support, love, words of wisdom. I'm giving all of that love back to you guys. I hope you have a tremendous week. And I do hope that this is just the beginning of something big, beautiful, and wonderful. And I can't wait to see you guys and talk to you guys very soon. Have a great week.